Eric, is that you? Have I found you? I found you again.
It has been a little while. They call that a hot minute.
That's what the kids say.
That's what the kids, well, the kids probably say something stupid that doesn't make any sense, actually.
Grammatically incorrect. It makes me want to pull the rest of my five strands out.
You're like, what is that? Is that even a word? What is that word that you're using? Is it like an abbreviation of two other words?
Yeah. What's up, everyone? This is game night once again after an almost, I mean, geez, what was this? 8-9 month layoff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Busy year. Yeah. And there were reasons for it. Everyone has reasons. But this would be episode 5 of our budding podcast that we have grand plans for, but execution has been lacking. But we're all going to change that moving forward.
That's right. If life allows us to.
Anyway, let's
reintroduce. How old is your youngest now?
Oh, my youngest? So that's,
That was one of the reasons. Yeah.
She turns 1 on the 22nd.
Wow.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah, super busy. Like this year has flown by. Mm-hmm. Just with her, and I got a 3.5-year-old and I got a 1-year-old, and just with everything else that's been going on, and here we are. Yeah. And like, I can't believe we're trying to plan this party, and I feel like I've been half-assing it with everything else that's been going on once again. Yeah. But anyway, I'm Jason Rose, one of the co-hosts of tonight. And this is my friend, the handsome fellow with the primmed and proper hair. Who is this?
Oh, yeah. I know, right? Eric Kane. I cut my hair off at one day in like October or something. I don't really. Yeah, I think it was October. I was just like, I can't do the long hair anymore. It was driving me crazy. I think I'm done with long hair.
Some of those old pictures, man. You had some lovely Fabio locks. I would have loved to run my fingers through them.
Yes, no, they're very, I would have people come up to me and ask to do that, actually. So that was interesting. It was always a little odd. I had a lady in a gas station, like an older lady, come up and, "Can I touch your hair?" And I was like, "Oh, okay." And she actually grabbed it and tugged on it. Like it hurt.
That's like a Stephen King. It was like
an assault. Yeah, I was like, okay, I'm leaving now. But it's very, I have nice hair, but it's very thick and it tangles and it's a lot of work and it's just, life's too short. I can't deal with it. So it was very liberating to just cut it off. And plus it's like, I have a lot of beard. So with a lot of beard and a lot of hair, you become like a mountain man, like very, like, it's a little much. So
I keep mine like this to make it look like I have more hair through the middle than I do. So I keep it short and then like this. I used to have some beautiful hair. Always had a 5 head, like just this beautiful landing pad here. I don't know. It hasn't hurt me too much in life, but I'm not naive enough to not understand my weaknesses.
Well, we're all getting old. That's for sure.
This Holy is shit. Actually a video game podcast in some form.
An old man shakes fists at cloud video game podcast.
It can be.
I was talking about Mass Effect 3 in a video I made a day or two ago, and I realized, holy crap, topic. I was 30 years old when that game came out. And it's been 12 years.
That's pretty much the game that made me become aware of you.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much when I became aware of the gaming community as it was. Before I started writing about games, I was sort of just like, I played video games my whole life, but I wasn't ever really in a, like an online community or really aware of online communities of gamers so much, I played multiplayer games like Counter-Strike, Team Fortress 2, that sort of thing. But I was never like big into the forums or any of that stuff. So I kind of walked into that minefield
of Mass Effect. I loved your take. And I love reading a lot of the stuff you wrote, and some of the stuff I wrote later, I referenced some of the things that you wrote as well. So
those were heady days. Yeah. Good times. Those were good times. Like back before Gamergate, before the internet and the culture we live in kind of percolated into whatever it is we have now. It's kind of like it was a nice time. I miss those days.
The discourse around Mass Effect 3 would have been much different if it happened today.
Oh, yeah.
Like the messaging would have been the same, but the way it was handled from media and all sides in terms of critiquing validity of messages would be completely different today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So but anyways, we're looking forward, right? Not backwards. So
yeah, but what else has been going on in this hiatus? Is there cliff notes? I mean, you look healthier.
Yeah. I made a video about this a while back too, but yeah, I my alcoholism kind of got out of control in 2023. Really ever since the pandemic, I think I went from being a fun drinker to becoming a sad drinker. I don't know. Life got hard. And so then I ended up in the hospital, and then I went, I got off the sauce. And so, yeah, as we recorded, I guess this would be 70 days. It would have been so much better if we recorded yesterday and it was 69 days, but we can't have everything. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm proud of you.
So, no, I feel good. Yeah.
I'm not going to quit drinking because I really like it, but yeah, well, I love it for you.
If you end up in the ER with pancreatitis, you can rethink that. But as if you can handle your booze and you're not like me, that's a good thing.
Like my pancreas.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just I'm a very happy drunk. I'm a good fun drunk. I'm responsible. I don't drink and drive into any of that shit. But I do. I can drink a lot, so it does catch up with you, and it ages you when you drink a lot, and it's bad for you're bad for your organs and shit. So now I've just been working out a lot, yoga, Orange Theory, all that stuff.
Yoga.
It's awesome. Hard when you get older, man. I find myself I work out really hard, and then there's just this such a recovery period.
Yeah, and that's the biggest difference that people see. Once we get going, you're kind of in it, but the recovery is bad for as you get older. That's the big
difference. It's
crazy.
And
now with young kids, I was prior to kids, about 4 years ago, I was still playing relatively high level basketball and competing with university kids. But when my son arrived, and obviously with COVID, gyms weren't open. Yeah, so
that was
at home, and my wife was pregnant. So I do all that stuff. And I've never really got back to it. I am so out of shape now. I just have no time. But this is one of my pet peeves when people start talking about how they have no time and they're busy on podcasts and shit. I know people didn't sign up for that, but we're just trying to catch you guys up.
Yeah. Kids take your time up.
They do. But this 2023 was a tough year for me. Personally, I think everyone has their challenges and bumps in the road as they go, but 2024 is going to be a year of change for me personally. And I think for this podcast, hopefully we can turn things around, get on a bit of a schedule, and get some guests on here.
That would be cool. Yeah.
Specialized episodes if we could. I mean, we'll hash those out off camera and stuff. But, I mean, I'm excited. I love doing this.
Yes, me too.
And I love just sitting down and chatting with you, Eric. It's great.
Yep. And I, it keeps – I I've definitely – refocused a lot of my work on TV and to a lesser extent movies, but I like to stay up on the games also, and not just Call of Duty, even though I am a Call of Duty addict probably at this point. But no, actually, gaming is kind of my social life. So I've got my tabletop gaming circle of friends. We play all different sorts of tabletop RPGs, and I've got my friends who I play shooters with, mostly Call of Duty. So, but yeah, there are a lot of games, and I know we're going to talk about this, but there are a lot of games coming out this year.
Oh yeah.
And there were some really great games last year too. I really did enjoy Hogwarts Legacy, Star Wars Jedi,
Black
Survivor. Yeah, I know. Right. So Hogwarts Legacy was the biggest selling game of the year. It was huge.
It was the single best selling game.
It was a huge, huge hit.
Just insane. The boycott,
although
it worked.
Yeah, the boycott. Which is so silly still. I know one of your upcoming one of both of our games of 2024 that we're looking forward to is Persona 3 Reload, which is the remake of Persona 3. Which I never played 3. I started with 4 on the Vita, and I played 5. But so I'm very much looking forward to Persona 3. When Hogwarts Legacy came out, I actually wrote about that and talked about how I wished Hogwarts Legacy was a little bit more like Persona, and incorporated more of your day-to-day school stuff with the adventure. I think that would be my ideal Hogwarts, Harry Potter style game would be one where you're, you know, you got to go to class and you go back to your dorm and you check off the days and then you go out on your adventures, very Persona-like, but with Harry Potter. But Hogwarts Legacy was still a cool game. And there were a lot of other.
We're going to get a sequel, cool, and I mean, they did saw off the Quidditch part to give you that in some. It's funny, I talked to, I mentioned to you, I was taking a game narrative and writing course that I unfortunately had to bow out of just after everything that happened. And I just didn't have the time. But one of the guy doing the course, Adrian Rupp, was one of the lead writers at Avalanche for the Hogwarts Legacy game. He was a great guy. I've got to talk to him off the course and things like that. And he's super helpful too. So I don't know. They're definitely going to make another one.
Yeah. Oh, I would imagine so. I will write various op-eds about how they should incorporate more of the schooling aspect of it. I think it's just, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just because like, as you get older, you have nostalgia for that stuff. But for me, like the beginning of Hogwarts Legacy, when you are in those classes and whatnot, I just wish there'd been a little more of that and a little bit more of like the time management and kind of, I don't know. You know what makes Persona great?
Such an incredible job on Hogwarts and realizing that entire and giving that atmosphere to people. And I think it's kind of widely agreed upon as the best part of the game.
Yeah.
And definitely diving into that more so just seems to make the most sense. So, I mean, absolutely. Well, let's put this topic up then. I mean, we have it later on the show, but let's talk about 2023. What I had wrote down is like the overarching message, 2023, was it the best year ever in gaming? Because I've been doing this for four decades. And I know a lot of people, when you say some, recency bias, there's, I always just get it. Was it 2007? There was 94. I probably have these years wrong. There's 2 years that are kind of widely held to be the strongest ever in video games. And I know these and they're escaping me right now.
I don't remember. And anyway, it all blurs together for me.
2023 was an exceptionally,
it was great
quality and quantity games. I think the Metacritic score on average, I think it was the highest. And for me, when I look at it, I just think with no recency bias, it very might well be the best year ever in terms of overall releases across the board. I don't know. I have to sit with it for a bit.
It was. I mean, like Baldur's Gate 3 was wonderful.
Yes, Baldur's Gate 3 is. What kills me is I often see these people online that are like, gaming is just in this awful state. And that, like these consoles, there's nothing to play. I'm sorry. Like if you can't find anything to play, let's say you're just a PS5 owner. If you can't find anything to play, you just hate video games. Like you just don't like it because there's never been more innovation in video gaming. And it's not happening in the AAA space. It's happening in the indie and digital space, the smaller, like the breadth. First of all, there's too many games. There's so many great games that you don't have time for all of them. So if you can't find something to play, you do not like this medium. Or you just need to expand your horizons because you're looking too narrow-minded in the AAA space. And also on that, the quality of video games is so high these days. And I just, everything is, it's like the old Bill Burr and Louis C.K. skit. Everything's awesome and no one's fucking happy about it.
Yeah, that's so true. I remember that. Yeah, I mean, it's like, there's two things there. It's like, if you can't find anything to play, you're overly picky because there's just so much. Then you also see the people who are like, I've played this game for 300 hours and sucks. And it's like, you had 300 hours to play a game that's like, I played this game for 300 hours. Then they released this update that broke it. I understand that. But like, if you have put 300 hours into a game, you probably liked it enough. You got your money's worth, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, for sure.
So Baldur's Gate 3. Final Fantasy 16, Spider-Man 2. Yeah. The Finals came out. That's an interesting shooter. Remnant 2, Wolong Fallen Dynasty. There was just a ton of
Zelda.
Stuff. You can't keep Zelda. You can't Mario. Keep up with it. I mean, personally, I cannot keep up with it. You know, no, I'll try out either. Games. I can't finish them.
The only way you could keep up with it if you had no kids.
No kids.
And like,
and all the money.
Probably didn't have a girlfriend or a wife. Like it.
Right.
I've always, what kills me today, especially now, I think this, what I'm about to say could have flown 20 years ago when there wasn't as many games. But what kills me is like, I see these guys on like large outlets, like, you know, just own everything, have everything, you know, just it's great to own. What, who can play all of that? Let's say you did own everything. Okay. And for me, it's not a question of money. I could buy anything I want. I have no time. I can't play everything I want on one platform. Why in the fuck would I have all three? It makes no sense.
Yeah. I mean, I have everything, but that's partly my job, and it's partly like I have kids and they play stuff. So like I hardly ever play Switch, but my son plays Switch.
I have a Switch, a Steam Deck, and my PS5.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't touch my Switch, and I barely touch my Steam Deck. Not because I don't want to.
Yeah.
Me it's too. Just when I sit down, it's like I can only direct my time into one, and I probably have at most an hour and a half.
Yep. Yeah, it's but really anyway, tricky.
Awesome year of video games. Like, real short, like, if you could name your three favorite, or even just your favorite, like, what is the highlights? Baldur's Gate 3 you mentioned.
Baldur's Gate 3 was great. I just love that type of game, you know. I love turn-based games. You know, I was huge into XCOM. I love D&D. So getting something where it's really well written, it's beautiful, it's well acted, and there's lots of great creative choices like Baldur's Gate 3 gives you. And just, you know, I still haven't finished it because there's so much of it. I mean, it'll probably take me 200 hours to finish that game. And so I'm taking my time with it, and it's just really great. And that's fine. That's exactly what I want out of that.
I haven't even played it yet because I'm a stickler for if you don't give me a physical release option, I just can't do it. But I have, as soon as they gave the option for the physical collectors, I pre-ordered that the first day it came. And I think that's coming out end of next month or March.
Nice.
So as soon as I get that, I will play it. Same reason, I haven't jumped into Alan Wake 2 yet because there's no physical
edition. Yeah, I haven't gotten into that yet.
I know we're going to get on to this later because the Xbox show just wrapped up this evening.
Yeah.
But Hellblade 2, Senua's Sacrifice, does not have a physical option.
Yeah, it's so expensive for them to release a physical option when everything is digital these days, I think. So, you know, and sometimes they release a physical option where it's like an empty disc. And you plug it in and it just downloads.
We could say this.
I haven't bought a physical.
We could save like this overarching topic, physical versus digital.
Yeah, that would be a good topic.
For another show. But to me, like for a first party game, even if you didn't want to have a wider breadth of just straight physical discs, why not just give like the people that actually want physical copies, like the $100 option where it's just collectors?
Yeah, and those collectors. Are, like, I think that's a good idea. Like,
50,000 on a limited. And if those sell out, then you start doing it. Like,
It would sell too, I'm sure.
100%.
You know, 100%. Especially if it came with, you know, the steel case and the, you know, a art book or a statue or something like that. I have that same statue from Elden Ring as you got right back there.
Yeah,
might be the last physical edition I got of any game is Elden Ring.
I have like 5 collector's editions just for the first 3 months of the year coming. And I mean, I'm the guy that buys them. So,
yeah.
But anyway, Baldur's Gate 3, I can't wait to play it.
Yeah, it's great.
When it does come out. But I mean, that was kind of like, that's consensus game of the year, more or less, right?
Yeah, that's what a lot of people's game of the year was. I mean, it was just such a, I mean, there was such an old school meets new school, you know, there's no battle pass, there's no microtransactions, it's just a big single player or co-op game. Where, you know, you get your the bang for your buck and then some. And I think that's just a really refreshing approach to gaming in general. I still haven't gotten into Spider-Man 2, actually.
Embarrassingly. There's a patch coming the end of this month that I wanted to wait for. Because I've said this myriad times, I'm not going to go over it again, but I don't play games like when they first come out. I wait.
A lot of times that's a good idea.
It's the best way to play as long as you have some sort of, you're an adult and you have some sort of patience because, you know, you just get a better game. And
Look at No Man's Sky.
Look at Witcher 3. Look at all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the way it is. Like even Spider-Man 2 is adding New Game Plus some other shit and I don't know, whatever else, the end of the month. So I said I'd just wait and play it then.
Well, actually, I need to get back. One of my other favorite games of the year was Jedi Survivor, and that's one that I stopped playing because the bugs were so bad that it really drove me crazy. I probably need to go back and try it out now because there was some stuff. I mean, it's a brilliant game. It has some really cool platforming and combat and a great story, but then there's just some just absolutely game-breaking bugs and save issues and other stuff that really kind of killed the experience. What else?
Yeah. There's another example. Like, I know it's fixed now, but like you said, it was in terrible condition.
Terrible shape.
I mean, for me,
which is a shame. Like, why do they release it? Why not give it some more time? Let it cook a little longer.
A Star Wars game with that license, a sequel that is to a wildly, lauded game.
Yeah.
And just, sure it was a big budget. So, like, how can you release it in that state? But, I don't know, 2023, that's the way it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and some of these big companies, they have such, once they lock down a date, they're not going to change it. Which is, unfortunate. Other big games of 2023. Zelda was great. Really expanded what they did with
Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild. I kept wanting to say Tears of the Kingdom, but that's the sequel. And I guess I do enjoy that. I guess I am also kind of hoping that the next Zelda is more traditional Zelda.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the big dungeons and not the open world and just kind of goes back to that. I'd love to see a modern Zelda that was more like Ocarina of Time or something,
That's what I want.
I mean, it's not that there's anything wrong with the newer ones, but it's kind of like I guess there was a part of me that no matter how good Tears of the Kingdom is, it's like traditionally Nintendo releases a very different Zelda every single time. So you go from something like Wind Waker to wildly different game with
Twilight Princess
Each one's so different, and so it was kind of weird to go back to back same style Zelda game. I know it's a huge game, so that's why. But
I mean, other than they'd added a lot in the gameplay, but it kind of was just a lot. I mean, that was the biggest complaint a lot of people had, that it was just more of the same.
Yeah, or more sandbox.
Not bad in a way, but I mean, for the people that had issues with Breath of the Wild, and I was one of them, and we've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. I own Tears of the Kingdom, but I haven't played a ton of it. It's just because I didn't love the first one. And
yeah.
I suppose if I had more time, I definitely would play more of it. And I will eventually. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
I want my old Zelda back, please. But yeah, I'm probably in a minority because these games sell an insane amount and they win all of the awards. So. Whatever.
They do. Although I really think another, Ocarina would do the same thing. I think it would be huge. I didn't finish Final Fantasy 16. I am a terrible gamer when it comes to finishing games. I'll play and then there's something else will come out and I just don't have time to finish
it's
stuff.
It's funny because
it's so hard.
You're the complete opposite in that. And I actually think your way is probably the best way because I'm a slave to finishing shit. I feel unless the game absolutely sucks to me, I'm like, I have to finish this because that's just the way I am. Because I know if I put it down, I'll probably never get back into it. And I'm just like that with games. And maybe I don't play enough.
But I don't know. I think I have to be really, really, really into a game because they're so long and there's so many games.
And there's so many.
I want to try so many of them out.
Yeah, it's like, and look, it's here. There's a new one.
Yeah, it's really like that. And so it has to be like Elden Ring for me to finish it. It has to be or it has to be really short, and then I'm just, I play a ton of multiplayer. So that's really time consuming also. So these single player games have to really wrap me in. And then there's stuff like there's Super Mario Brothers Wonder, which I think is a wonderful game for speaking of Nintendo games. But after about like 8 or 9 levels of that, I was exhausted. Like it's so much is going on and I'm just like, whoa, holy shit. Maybe I'm actually too old to play this game because it's like so colorful and so much, so much is happening that like I am not actually relaxed playing this at all. I'm more relaxed like shooting people in a first person shooter. I haven't played Alan Wake 2 yet. That's kind of been on my list where I want to sit down and like spend like 8 hours straight playing it, and that's hard to find time for. Yeah, but it's been a long time. So I think I almost need to replay the first one also. It's kind of like when you read a book and then the sequel finally comes out.
Yes.
Like 8 years later and you're like, shit, I need to read that book again. It's been a long time. I like their games. I don't, you know, to some degree, some of them more than others, but yeah, I liked Alan Wake and I've heard such great things about the second one.
Yeah, it looks spectacular, but give me
the first. Yeah, it really does. Then there's all the like the soul likes that came out, like Lies of P and
there's a lot of them.
Yeah, there was
Lords of the Fallen 2 actually.
Lords of the Fallen. I played some of that and it was good. And it is really, 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 really derivative of Dark Souls. Like the menus and the sound effects and everything. It's not Souls like, it's like Souls copy. But it's good still. So
it looks beautiful. Like the visually looks great.
And it's fun, and it plays well, and they do some interesting things with changing between dimensions, basically, and that unlocks different exploration and enemy types and stuff, and that was cool.
I always like when games do that. Like, the levels, there was a level in Titanfall 2 that did that, but the most impressive example was that in Dishonored 2, Clockwork Mansion. And it's just, it is so impressive, the level design. Like, it's just...
Yeah,
I mean, love Dishonored. when you talk about, like, games on, like, an elevated level... This was actually another topic I'd like to delve into, like just the language of how we talk about and critique games. Mm-hmm. I just feel like there's not enough like higher level understanding amongst like the average gaming populace to really appreciate and delve into video games. But we'll save that for another day. Yeah. But
it would be fun to look at level design. Some of the best designed levels or something
and
like
even,
that. You
and
know?
Like you, why UI works and why certain sound effects make them... I just think so many people take these things for granted and how it just melds into the overall experience and feel. Like, we all know Persona has wonderful UI and menus, but why do they work? And, you know, just things like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. I was just going to say, like, stuff like sound design is so, it is something that goes over people's head. Or, like, people don't notice it, but it makes such a big difference. Like, just like the sound design in something like Dark Souls or Call of Duty, like when you shoot somebody in Call of Duty and you get that headshot and that sound effect, it's so, so, so visceral and it feels so good. And you might not even notice that it's the sound effect that's making you get that that satisfying feeling, or like that crunch when your sword hits a shield or something in Elden Ring or whatever. But that sound, you know, so it's these small details that in well-designed games make such a difference to the experience that you may not even notice it, but you are experiencing that and it can, you know, so, but yes, that's another topic.
Yeah.
For like another time.
I have all these thoughts and ideas. I mean, we've been on hiatus for so long. I'm like, well, I'd love to talk about this and this and this and this. But anyway, real quick, my 2023 wasn't overall with a ton of new games, but I would say Final Fantasy 16 took the cake for me. Maybe I'm biased. I'm the biggest Final Fantasy guy in the world. Anyone that's listened to this knows this. But it has the biggest highs of the year in terms of big moments. I mean, I don't even think that's arguable. The game has flaws. I cannot deny that. This isn't a review, so I won't get overall into them. But I've been playing games for a really long time, and I think Final Fantasy 16 has overall some of the best boss fights ever in video games. But I think it singly has the single best boss fight ever in terms of scale, epicness, sound, just delivering on, I mean, this isn't even a spoiler. Everyone knows you fight Bahamut, the dragon, but just how it's handled, the various stages of it, and the spectacle, you're just like, holy shit, man. Like, I've never seen the only thing is to come close. I mean, there's integral boss fights in like Elden Ring and Souls games. You're like, wow, this is huge. This is awesome. The only thing I think boss fights that came close for me, you ever play Asura's Wrath?
No.
It was a PS360 game. It was more like a playable anime. But the boss fights were just absolutely huge. Like, think about the most overtop anime you could think of. And just awesome moments. Like, those were all in this game. It was so good. I loved it, looking back. I wish they would re-release it. But just the fights in Final Fantasy 16, the highest highs I've experienced in a long, long time.
The pacing of the game,
towards like the final third, I would say the story sort of seems to fall off a bit. I it it loses what was great about it in some aspects. It doesn't suck, don't get me wrong. And some, it has some pacing issues too, but overall, I just think the game was really awesome. The combat was fantastic. And they're releasing some DLC. So once the second DLC comes out, I will go back and platinum that game for sure. Nice. What else?
Nice. Yeah, I enjoyed what I played of it. I just didn't play a lot of it. But it's, yeah, I love the setting and the feel. It's so much more up my alley than 15. Mm-hmm. That medieval.
I played Sea of Stars, and I wrote about this. I had to drop it after 10 hours. I think it's the worst written game I've played in, like, wow, in the modern. Honestly, like, it's an abhorrently written game. It is so bad.
I played a little, but not much. Huh.
There's a character in it called Garl, and I know this is, some people think he's great. He ruins the fucking game. Like, any development and any, like, things for the protagonist, he just steals with his sickening optimism, and it's just everyone likes Garl, and Garl saves the day, and this, and it just is like this. I can't believe it was written, and it makes sense because they didn't employ a writer, and the guy who did write the game isn't an English language speaking first gentleman, so the grammatical errors are abundant. And anyway, Sea of Stars, there's so many. I cannot believe it won and was nominated for as many awards as it was, because everything.
It's always like a game like that, isn't there? Like,
I think so. Because I compare, like,
popularity,
everything outside of how it looks, and don't get me wrong, Sea of Stars looks incredible, but everything outside of that is average to just honestly not very good, including the combat. Like, there was an indie RPG that released at the tail end of 2022 called Chained Echoes. Vastly better game, but still not extremely well written. Anyway, that's that.
It's always writing. Everything falls apart with the writing.
Well,
And TV shows and movies.
Well, TV shows for sure. But I mean, if it was a different, like, say if it's an action game, I could forgive some of the writing. Like, I'm not delving into Bayonetta for top tier prose and, you know what I mean? Like, this super story. It's more about the combat and everything. And don't get me wrong, gameplay is still paramount. But in RPGs, if it's poorly written, story and characters are vastly more important. And I just, maybe I'm just more susceptible to it. But if I go on Reddit, though, and I was very surprised after I wrote what I wrote, because I think, I forget what I titled it. Sea of Stars is a masterclass in poor writing or something like that. I don't know. But I went on Reddit to see if people, like, what people were saying. I was surprised, like, the consensus is kind of, like, on the RPG boards that most people are like, this game kind of sucks. It was disappointing.
Wow, interesting.
And then you see, like, all these people is like, oh, it's this incredible throwback, da da da, and wins all these awards. I'm like, okay, more power to them.
I find the whole, I don't know, it's so hard to trust reviews.
Well, yeah.
You know, like, well, it's also like a lot of reviewers don't know what they're talking about. Like, well, when Modern Warfare 3 came out, it's like the worst reviewed Call of Duty ever. And, it's really bizarre for me personally, because while the campaign is pretty meh for sure, mostly the campaigns are not great in Call of Duty anyways. And it's like the reviewers for this game barely touched multiplayer, which is literally what Call of Duty is about.
It is.
Multiplayer is fantastic.
I love the stories. I like playing the stories, but that's
like
not
4 hours long, you know, like
that's not the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's like a part of it, but like the most important thing is, how is the multiplayer? That's what people are going to be playing. Like, if you're going to review this game, you should know about the multiplayer. If you're going to review Sea of Stars or something, like, you should understand RPGs and what makes them tick. And like, it just seems like so many people are sitting down and writing reviews for games that they don't really, really understand that
Let's put a pin, because what you're talking about is the exact thing. Not only how we talk about games, but literally how we talk about games in terms of critique as well. Like, I think there's two sides of that. And I've been thinking about this actually. Like, I wrote a bunch of notes down about what I would like to cover with you. And I think that'd be a really interesting episode.
Yeah. Okay.
But I agree with you. Like, I have a massive issue with how games are reviewed and critiqued, but anyway.
Yeah. It's, and there are, you know, there are some reviewers who are great, really great. Mm-hmm. And then there are, you know, lots that are, I just reading some of the reviews for that game. And just because I play so much Call of Duty, like, I feel like I am an expert at it now. And so, you know, and I turn to YouTubers a lot when I want to know stuff, because there's, you know, some great YouTubers out there who actually understand what the fuck they're talking about. Mm-hmm. And you go and read some of these reviews, like in IGN's review of Modern Warfare 3, I found like at least five or six errors that were just flat out wrong. And it's like, how are you giving this a score, a bad score, when you don't understand what you're talking about? Like, but yeah, I think we should talk about what we're excited about. Since we, this is kind of a shorter episode today, this,
yeah.
But what, you know, 2024 coming up, what are, you know, what are a couple of your top games that you're looking forward to?
So yeah, we'll just jump ahead here and go to our 2024 year. And I mean, hot on the heels of what, like we said, many people did agree 2023 might've been one of it, at the very least, is one of the best game years ever in terms of releases.
Easily.
And even though 2024 has a lot of unknowns, especially on the PlayStation front, I guess we're still working on the potential of the Xbox lineup, but after the showcase today, I think some other stuff is clear. But like, I look at the first half of 2024, and although there's a lot of games out there, I guess for me specifically, this could be the year of like the JRPG or the RPG in general. I mean, it's such a fucked up genre now. Like, everything is a RPG and nothing's an RPG today. But mm-hmm. I think when I say that, everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about, so I don't have to clarify it. But like, just straight out of the gates, like, we got Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which is Remake Part 2. Okay, I mean, me, 18 inches of Sephiroth coming up that ass. I can't wait for that thing. I got all this stuff here. So that, I mean, Final Fantasy VII for me is like my Graceland, sir. So, I mean, we can go into detail on these some other time, but there's that. There's Persona 3 Reloaded, which I Persona 3 is my favorite of the Persona games. Like, I liked it better than 4. Everyone was going crazy about 4 because 4 was like their first Persona game, Persona 4 Golden, which is great on Vita. It's an awesome, awesome, awesome game. But I just thought 3 was great. It's extremely dark, like really dark game. And I can't believe like the animations for how you load your persona, like shooting in the head.
Yeah.
Like I didn't think they were going to keep it. They kept it all. Yeah. It's all in there. So I can't wait. I have that collector's ready to go. I kickstarted Ayuden Chronicles 100 Heroes. That was like the Suikoden guys. They were trying to make a Suikoden game, and it didn't get greenlit, so they went to Kickstarter and made it. That game looks awesome. I think it has a hard date. That's more in the summer, though, I think. Yeah. So that I'm super pumped about. Right after that, Granblue Fantasy Relink. I was going to talk about what we've been playing, but we kind of already skipped over that. But I just played the demo for Granblue Fantasy Relink, which is, Granblue is like an anime, but they've had a fighting game too. But this is this RPG they've been working on for like 9 years. They announced it like 9 years ago, and they finally released the demo. And the demo was great. Like, it looks spectacular, like a cartoon in motion. It plays extremely well from what I could see. I really enjoyed it. Big cast of characters. And you can play it. I think there's multiplayer options too, because there's a big cast. But by no means do you have to play it like that. It's just an option to have. So excited for that. Then, of course, I'm like, Vanillaware to me is like one of my favorite companies. Every game they release, I'm all in on. And their latest, I don't know, the name is terrible. It's called Unicorn Overload. Overlord. It's like some...
It kind of stands out, though.
It definitely does. Like some weird furry shit. But it's it's like a strategy. It takes their art and their charm and their talent. And it's like anyone out there who's explained like Dragon Force or something like that. You have your own squad. But anyway, the game looks awesome. Like, I think it looks so, 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 so good. The last game for Vanillaware was 13 Sentinels, which I think is a masterpiece. Everyone should play that. And then, of course, there's, like, at the end of the year, there's the Persona team's newest Metaphor Fantasio, another crazy name, but it's, like, the Persona team's take on, like, a fantasy RPG. And it looks like everything you'd think. Crazy, crazy concepts. Looks really cool. And then, of course, Dragon's Dogma 2. Like,
yeah, that's on my list too.
I could delve into all those games deep, but I'm like, I look at that lineup and that's just like JRPGs alone. I'm like, we're eating good, brother. We're eating good.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot. There's the what is it? They showed it today, the Visions of Mana also.
Yes,
that was shown at the Xbox today.
Yeah, we're actually getting a new Mana game.
Yeah, after a long time, over a decade. Wow, that Metaphor of Phantasia, I hadn't heard about that one, but that does look cool. Mm. I love the Persona games, and that looks great.
It takes all of that and puts it in a fantasy thing, and yeah. I just, everything that you love about it, the snappy menu systems, the art, and I think they have a lot of confidence in this game, Eric, because the blowouts they've had for it in terms of developer commentaries and like extra long gameplay snippets and breakdowns of whatever the fuck. It's all out there on YouTube. And I'm like, okay, they believe in this game 100%. So I believe in you.
It's going to be a good year for RPGs in general, it looks like. JRPGs and then stuff like Dragon's Dogma 2, which is kind of like a Western JRPG, I guess.
Yes.
In a way, right? Like, kind of like how Dark Souls is a bit of a Western JRPG.
And forgive me, Dragon's Dogma 1 came out right around the same time as Dark Souls, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It did. Yep. And I remember, real close, within months.
Yeah.
I remember when they both came out, I was like one of the guys saying, I like Dragon's Dogma better than Dark Souls.
Yeah. I mean, there are things about it.
The same games. I don't know why I was saying it, but I was like, I just like this one.
Well, that's what we do, right? We compare.
This is what we do.
You know, I was like, Dark Souls is way better than Skyrim. Skyrim I people. Agree with you. Dragon's Dogma was a super creative game, and I loved the combat. It was really fun. Really just so many fun classes to play around with, and the magic and the you know, climbing monsters and picking things up and throwing them and just all kinds of goofy stuff. It was also not as punishing as Dark Souls, and I just love them both. They're very different games, obviously.
Very different.
And I honestly never thought we'd get a sequel.
We had the, what was it? The demo, people played it, but Capcom released, what is it called? Dragons. Everyone thought it was the Dragon's Dogma 2. It was the Dragon's Dogma sequel, but they never released it. It was in a
they previewed Deep Down, that game Deep Down.
Is it called Deep Down? Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, maybe it was very medieval fantasy looking from Capcom.
From Capcom.
And then
right. Everyone's like, this is the working name for Dragon's Dogma 2. And I guess some people played that demo.
Really?
Yeah, it was playable in some capacity.
Looked cool.
So
that Dragon's Dogma 2 looks great. I can't wait. That's definitely one of my top games.
Incredible.
Shadow of the Erdtree DLC from Software. Speaking of RPGs, Elden Ring was fantastic, and that looks fantastic.
Other than the Erdtree, obviously, but like, what direction will they be taking in Elden Ring? Like, do you have to spoil like the ending in order to know, or have they even really gone into depth about what they're doing with it?
They have kept it very mum's the word, so hard to say. There's a lot of theories about Mikella and all the different characters that might be involved, but all they've shown is the one image. And that's it. Yeah. So we know nothing. We've seen nothing. Right? Yeah. That's all. They could never release a single trailer and just be like, hey, it's out. And it would just
blow up the whole internet.
They'll probably release like 12 trailers though, because they always release way too much marketing for their games, even though they don't need to.
So pause really quick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just touch it back to 2023. Did you play Armor Core 6 Fires of Rubicon?
A little bit.
Okay.
It's really not my style of game. Much as I love From Software, like I was like, this is kind of cool. It's kind of fun to fly around and fight these big robots and stuff. But I know a lot of people just love those games. And then a lot of people are like, just wait till you play Armored Core, because I never had. And I played it and I was like, well, it's okay. It's so different. It's wildly different from the Dark Souls games. And I guess it's just not really. Did you play it?
I own it. No, I never played it.
Yeah, yeah. I'll probably play it.
But like a lot of things, I don't know. I'm a big mech comic guy. Like Zone of the Enders 2 is one of my favorite games ever. I just love all that shit. And it's so hard to do mech combat well in action. Totally. You know,
it's good combat, like in Armored Core 6. I thought it played really well. I just like, it's the structure of the game is, you know, you like, you go and you take missions and you go out and you do missions. And then you earn credits and you buy more shit for your mech and you go out and you do missions. And
it's very different.
Yeah. I just wasn't feeling it. And maybe that was the time I was playing it. Not that it was bad, just wasn't feeling it.
I just wanted to toss that in because I know that was an omission from me this past year. And I know you're a big From guy, so I wanted to
ask you
that. So, Shadows of the Erd Tree. One image, and it's got all the boys tied.
I mean, Elden Ring was such a masterpiece that, of course, you know, I need to go back. I haven't played it in months now, but I want to go play some more of it in anticipation of the DLC. And of course, they always put the DLC into some interesting spot in the game. It's not just like you click the DLC and you play it. You got to go find it in the game and start the quest in the game and all that with all their DLCs, which is fun. Rise of the Ronin looks cool from Team Ninja.
It's funny. Like I look at that game and I liked the initial reveal, but when I saw the latest trailer, I was like,
yeah,
I don't know. It just didn't. It didn't look as good as I wanted to look. And also, in the face of that, at the last show, they PlayStation had another samurai game with a really flashy combat. The name escapes me at this moment. It was in their last show.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It wasn't Rise of Ronin, but like it looked really good. Like think about like kung fu films. And it was like that type of combat in motion. So like you have Ghost of Tsushima, then you have this new game. And then I looked at Rise of the Ronin and I was like, not really. I just think it sort of didn't look as awesome as I thought it should look.
Their games are kind of like Neo, like I liked it. And then I just wished it had been a little more than what it was. So I hear you there. They came out with, what was it last year?
Wolong?
I can't think of the name of it. Yeah. And that was okay. Again, it was just kind of like, yeah, it was fun, but
there's a game I want to play though. Like I really like the Three Kingdoms era. Like I was a big romance and Three Kingdoms strategy guy before they even made Dynasty Warriors. And I've read the books. I'm big. It's like one of my favorite time periods.
Yeah.
I love the characters. So I do want to play that game, Wolong Fallen Dynasty. And visually, that game looked better than like their Neo Fair and stuff like that.
Sometimes I think I'm just burnt out on Souls games, like Souls style games. There's so many of them now, and they're so from software games. Because they're also like a lot of them are really hard, and I feel like actually From Software's games aren't quite as hard. Like they don't emphasize the challenge. I know everyone's like prepare to die and it's such a, but really From Software is like more about the ambiance, the atmosphere and like the weird cryptic storytelling and lore. And for me, like that, like really getting like my favorite parts of Elden Ring are like looking out over the expanse and being like, how do I get there? And then figuring it out, you know? Whereas a lot of these other games are like, they're going to kick your ass and then they're going to kick your ass some more. And I'm too old for this shit. And I don't have enough time to die again and again and again. Although sometimes
that game I was talking about was Phantom Blade Zero.
Okay. Yeah. I remember seeing that. That looks cool. Ghost of Tsushima remains one of my favorite samurai style games.
And you got to imagine that sequel's coming.
Oh yeah. That was huge. Other games.
You got Black Myth Wukong. I think that looks.
Yep. That looks really good. Chinese game.
I have a question for you about that game really quick. I don't know how much you know. When they initially started showing it, obviously I was super impressed, but the combat to me looked more in line with, say, like Devil May Cry. But I feel like about 2 years ago, and maybe this is me misremembering how the original trailers were versus now, but I feel like roughly two years ago, the trailers, when they did like the next reveal, it seemed to have a more slower Souls approach with its combat. I don't know how much you've kept on with
it's always game. Looked like a Souls to me.
Okay, since then I just misremembered.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's always looked very, very heavily Souls influenced, but with like the, you know, kung fu, magic kung fu.
Yeah, Chinese, like the movement stuff. Is more sort of responsive and animated, I should say.
Yeah, because you're like a monkey, so
yes, you are.
Makes me think of Sekiro which is the one FromSoftware Souls style game that I never finished because I just got.
We're like on every episode we've done. I think we talk about Sekiro once.
And why it's so frustrating. That stupid headless ape. I've got a bunch of here on my list, and we don't have. And I do have to go real soon.
I know here, you but, do.
They showed. I thought we just. Did you watch the Indiana Jones trailer yet? For the game.
So no, we can.
Okay, we'll have to talk about that next time.
Okay.
We'll continue our discussion. It looks good. It looks really good. Troy Baker does the voice, and he does a great voice of Harrison Ford, wouldn't it?
It's first person.
Yeah, it's first person, which is. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I was a little. I thought it would be third person.
Yeah. I mean.
But it's machine games, and they made like Wolfenstein and shit. So it makes sense.
It does. And I mean,
studio,
you know, and Arkane makes wonderful action based first person games. It's so rare for it to be done well in a non shooting capacity. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean,
I wonder how that whip will work. When I think of a whip, I think of Castlevania. So I'm like thinking of the 2D side scrolling Indiana Jones. That's what I want to play. It looks good. It looks like a quality game. But we'll see, I guess. You know, it's coming out this year.
What's the date on it?
This year. I don't think they said an actual date. So probably later this year.
Because we finally got a date for Hellblade 2 in that show, which is May. Soon. May 21st.
Yep. Those are cool games.
Did you play the first Hellblade?
I did. I didn't play all of it. Nope, didn't finish it. But I thought it was pretty cool. Pretty trippy.
Did you like Ninja Theory games?
What else have they done?
So Ninja Theory did Heavenly Sword.
Yeah, never played Heavenly Sword.
I really loved it. Super short, but honestly, groundbreaking voice acting at the time. Super funny. And also, what's his name? Oh, God. Gollum. Voice actor.
Oh, yeah.
Popular. What's his name?
Andy Serkis.
Yes, Andy Serkis. Incredibly talented. He does King Bodan. He's like the main bad guy.
Oh, and okay. Cool.
That game's awesome.
To playlist forever, and I just never did.
It's super short. It's like cool. six, 7 hours. I loved it. Everyone shit on that game when it came out. I think it was mostly because they forced gyro controls, but they patched those out. I thought it was great. And when I heard about Hellblade, I think most people thought this actually that it was a sequel to Heavenly Sword. But anyway, wasn't.
Blade.
They also did the DMC reimagining remaster.
Right. That was a fun, controversial game.
We talked about that too.
It was all right. It was an all right game. Yeah. Star Wars game coming out.
Yes.
There's a lot of games coming out. We'll have to do like a whole thing where we pick like 10 games and go through them in more detail or something like that.
Yes, we will do that. But real quick, since the Xbox showcase is hot on the brain and we can be current, did you watch it? Did you catch up on the trailers?
Just a little. Okay, I forgot about it.
You have Avowed there. How did Avowed look? Because it's okay. Visually, it's never. A lot of people are pumped for it. I was like, I don't really see it.
So visually, I don't love it. It looks cartoony to me, which I feel like you've got a choice with a game like an RPG, a fantasy game. You can go really cartoony, or you can go in some other stylistic direction that's distinct, like really gritty, realistic, or I don't know, just something distinct. But it looks kind of like generic cartoony, and that doesn't really leap out at me that much. It's first person. And I know there's like guns and stuff and spells that make sense in first person, but I have a hard time like with first person fantasy type games. I'd much rather play a third person game where I can see my character. And
Other than in a non-shooter capacity, I just generally prefer to see my character and the world in that respect.
It's very
but I'm
rare.
Always open to be have my mind change, but it's hard for and me like, to break that mold.
You mentioned Arkane and Dishonored and stuff, and that's like one of the exceptions to the rule for like a fantasy style. Like there's the sword fighting's really good in Dishonored. It's crazy how good it is.
You can do and it's just so many
very
incredible
rare.
Things.
So I'll keep an open mind, but I'm not like I don't know. I'm not super excited for it, but I always love a new RPG, so that one's on there. And then I've got a lot of, like, there's a lot of other things. There's the Metal Gear 3 remake, which, who knows? I just love Metal Gear, so that'd be fun if that was good.
Yeah, Metal Gear Solid 3 is, like, top five game all time for me.
Yeah, hopefully they just make it look good and prettier. Keep everything exactly the same.
Yeah, I agree.
there's some shooters coming out. There's X Defiant, which is supposed to be the big, like, challenger to Call of Duty from Ubisoft, but of course it's from Ubisoft, so I'll believe it when I see it.
Although Ubisoft's been doing well, and the new Prince of Persia, that was the other demo fun. I played recently.
I played a little bit of that.
I think it plays exceptionally well.
And yeah, it plays well.
I'm a big, like, Metroidvania guy. It reminds me a lot of a lesser Harold, the 2014 Strider reimagining remake in the Metroidvania style. I thought it was incredible. Like, not a lot of people seem to be on board with that game, but it was awesome to me, and I love the
Strider. I like that kind of game anyway. Too. So,
Go ahead.
I think I'll probably get Prince of Persia and play it all, because I mean, I've been playing since the very, very first Prince of Persia came
out. Yes, likewise.
I loved that game back in the day. I thought it was awesome. So
loading it up on floppy disk on my
And then, like, really cool. There's another shooter coming out called Out of Action that people probably have never heard of that looks really cool.
I've never heard of that.
It's like an anime style first person shooter with multiplayer and bullet time. Made by a one-man developer called Doku Games. I don't know how that's going to work. How do you do bullet time in a multiplayer? But it looks really cool, and it's really impressive. So Out of Action, check it out on Steam, just to give a shout-out to a much, much smaller indie title. But that looks really cool and really different. So that's one thing that it's supposed to come out in 2024, but you know how it is with these small developers, you never know how long these things are going to take to get.
And vice versa, you have Hades 2 here as well. Supergiant Games is like Vanillaware, where I'm in on everything they do.
Hell yeah, those guys are great.
Hades was probably the first game that I wasn't just in complete adoration for. Not because I don't think it's great. Roguelites are just really hit and miss for me. And
I'm with you on that.
I don't think I gave it enough of a chance to even grab me. So that's another game that I really want to get back to, because everything Supergiant does, from their style to their music, everything they do, I love.
Yeah.
And it's the first time they're actually making like a sequel. I just don't know if it'll release proper in 2024, because with Hades they did a really like super like extended beta.
I'm sure it'll be an early access thing. Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing with so many games these days. There's like early access periods that can last for like 3 years or whatever. Like, when is the release date? Is it the early access date? Is it the actual launch? Like, both, you know? Tales of Kenzera Zhao, that's the new game from the actor Abubakar Salim, who was in like Raised by Wolves and
has
done a lot of stuff. I'm actually doing like a preview for that soon. It looks really cool. Kind of like a side scroller action game. He did the voice of the main character in Assassin's Creed Origins.
Okay.
So he's a really nice guy.
You met him?
And I've talked with him, but I haven't met him in person.
All right.
he did invite me to hang out at the Game Awards. Him and the Critical Role people were having a party, but I wasn't going to the Game Awards, so I didn't go to their fun, fancy, swanky party. That would have been fun, though. But anyways, I got to run.
Yes, you
do. I have to go take care of some family business here. But let's do this again, and we'll talk afterwards and maybe figure out some ways to.
Yeah,
there's so much to talk about. So
your people, this is more of a like touch base, reintroduce. Yeah. Get something out there, and then we'll get some more structure moving forward. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. This was a quick hour, scattered, but good. And I'm glad we finally got back together after it, because I wrote in October that we were going to, and then we just kind of, it fell off.
Life, but so much life.
But we're going to get a plan of attack here, and guests, special episodes, and lots to come. But listen, man, I love you. Great talking to you again.
Yeah, you too, man. Well, we'll do it again soon.
2024. We're here.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
All right. Later, everyone. There'll be a musical selection. I don't know what the fuck it's going to be yet.
But it's going to be amazing.
It is. It's going to be great. Blow your ears. All right. Talk soon.